We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
So they haven't constructed beautifully to where they'll be able to manage the aprons appropriately is what I mean. If you're Houston, you've got to compete with that right now. Or you potentially risk losing Kevin Durant. And if you sign an extension, you know, perhaps before the regular season starts, I'm not saying you're relaxed. I'm not saying like, whew, okay. All right, if we're not good this year, it's okay. I don't believe anyone in Houston is thinking like that. Kevin Durant was acquired for them to take the next step, and I absolutely think they can take the next step with Kevin Durant. But I think it also takes just an unnecessarily, you know, heavy weight off their shoulders. There's already pressure on them, but we know we've got this group. We know we've got a team. We know we're building off of what we did last year for a couple of years to come. We're not building off of what we did last year for the next couple of months and crossing our fingers and praying that it works. We're going to figure this out. So a Kevin Durant extension is something I'm very intrigued to see if it happens and if it does when it happens. And speaking of extensions, coming up on August 2nd, your boy is eligible for a contract extension from the San Antonio Spurs. De'Aaron Fox. Does De'Aaron Fox sign a contract extension? Let me rephrase that. Do the San Antonio Spurs sign De'Aaron Fox to a contract extension? Do the San Antonio Spurs sign De'Aaron Fox to a max contract extension? How much of San Antonio's thinking changed when they acquired the number two overall pick in this draft? Is De'Aaron Fox a member of the San Antonio Spurs on August 2nd? I don't know, of all of the extension conversations, this, even more so than the one we're going to get to next, is the most fascinating. Because when it comes to Kevin Durant, and spoiler alert, the other contract extension is Luka Doncic. We'll talk about him in a second. When it comes to Kevin Durant and the likes of Luka Doncic, you know what the league thinks about them. You know what the team thinks about them. Like, the question I don't think is, does Houston offer Kevin Durant a contract extension? The question is, does Kevin Durant sign a contract extension? The question isn't, do the Los Angeles Lakers offer Luka Doncic a contract extension? The question is, does Luka Doncic sign the contract extension? I don't believe that that's the case in San Antonio. I think the question in San Antonio is, do the San Antonio Spurs offer De'Aaron Fox a contract extension? You go back to talking about those other two players, Kevin Durant, Luka Doncic. We know what the Rockets think about KD. We know what the Lakers think about Luka Doncic. And I think it's fair to say we know what the rest of the league thinks about both of those players. I don't think we know anymore what I think San Antonio was high on De'Aaron. I don't know if they're as high on De'Aaron as they were prior to moving up to number two in the lottery. And I know this is going to come across as shade. I promise you it's not. I know this is going to come across as hate. And I give you my word it's not. I don't know what the rest of the league thinks about De'Aaron Fox. I think we as Kings fans have, we have convinced ourselves that there would have been this massive market for De'Aaron Fox this offseason. By the way, has anybody changed their thinking on that? Given the way this offseason has gone, like in the totality of the league, given the way that this is all gone, does anyone think the best move for Sacramento was still to wait till the offseason? Does anyone still think there would have been this robust market for De'Aaron Fox this offseason? Because there has been a robust market for one guy and one guy only, and it was Kevin Durant. There has not been that market for anyone else. So what would have happened if the Sacramento Kings had said, hold up, man, wait a second. I get you're unhappy. That's fine. Monty, your ass is getting fired at the end of the year anyways, so let's just get through the rest of the season. You can bitch and moan and pout, and you can even sit out the rest of the year if you want to, but we're not trading you till the offseason. And there are people that believe that was the move that the Sacramento Kings should have made, and I understood it 2 months ago when everyone said it. I think James believes that. I understood it 2 months ago. But now we see what this league has looked like this year. Now we see that we're living through a free agency period, unlike anything I can certainly remember, at least not covering the league. I don't remember anything like this. Maybe something happened growing up where free agency was a standstill. Maybe something happened before the years I was in radio and nothing really buzzworthy happened. But certainly not in the last 10 years when I've been covering this basketball team as closely as I have, has anything like this happened. So do you still think there would have been a market for De'Aaron Fox? Because I think that market was limited to begin with. I think that market was extremely limited to begin with. Now I don't know what would have been there for him. I see my man Raul saying the problem isn't trading De'Aaron Fox or when you trade De'Aaron Fox. The problem is trading him for Zach LaVine. That's fine. My point is, what would you have traded him for? You had a Chicago team that wanted to move off Zach LaVine. You have a Sacramento King that has to move off of De'Aaron Fox. That same exact deal might have happened in the offseason.
I mean, it is an issue, though. It is an issue if they never went looking otherwise, too. Like, if Zach LaVine was the only guy they looked at, like, that's a problem. Would you have taken maybe lesser players in a first-round pick? Or it's like, these guys aren't great or anything like that, but it kind of matches the contract? Because I get, you take Zach LaVine because there's no robust market, but I don't get only looking at Zach LaVine.
I understand you. I understand that completely. And I understand anyone who has a problem with that.
There's probably a lot of, because it's not about Zach LaVine, just more so where this team's trying to go now. There's probably a lot I would have taken before that.
Okay. So my question right now is, would you have been able to get it?
Well, that's the thing. If it's only Zach, then no. But if you
We could take Zach LaVine out of the equation. We could say we get to the offseason.
What I'm thinking about right now is not this big deal for De'Aaron Fox. So I'm going to assume yes. Like two players or whatever where it's like they can come and contribute in the first round pick. Maybe I'd say yes. I'm not looking for the Desmond Bane deal in this scenario. It's just something that opens up my flexibility more than a Zach LaVine deal did.
See, I'm glad you it would have been tough to counter if you hadn't used that oh so appropriate word, flexibility. The Sacramento Kings had traded for De'Aaron Fox for a couple of guys and some draft picks that would have given them flexibility. Knowing what we know now, would a team have given up those guys that would have provided them with flexibility to bring in De'Aaron Fox, who's going to want a contract extension in 2 weeks? That's what I'm stuck on.
I mean, he wouldn't be the first player traded somewhere he didn't want to go, right, and ended up working out.
Like, no, he absolutely wouldn't.
A team taking that chance wouldn't be the first team to do that.
No, he absolutely wouldn't. But as I look at the market, as I look at what has happened with the league this year, I just wonder if, in hindsight, maybe the only thing the Sacramento Kings could have done was trade him during the season. They could have gotten Zach LaVine for him in the offseason because Chicago was ready to move off of that. There's a way you could have done that, and ultimately San Antonio landed De'Aaron Fox for little to nothing. But going back to the – that was a sidebar. Going back to the original question, does San Antonio offer De'Aaron Fox a contract extension this year? Does the San Antonio Spurs offer him a contract extension in 2 weeks? A lot changed, at least in my mind, when the Spurs moved up in the lottery. We're talking hindsight right now. We're talking the market right now. If the San Antonio Spurs knew at the trade deadline, they get a call from Adam Silver. Hey, guys, it's Adam. Love what you've been doing. Really want to land someone solid with Victor Wembanyama. We're going to award you the second pick in the draft. Not that any chicanery like that would happen, but use your imagination for a second. Do you think they still make the deal? Do they still make the deal for De'Aaron Fox? Now, I don't believe that you could just have a bunch of young guys running around out there. You want veterans, but you've got really good young players in your backcourt. Perhaps the veteran you targeted should have been at a different position. So all of these questions lead me to believe, what exactly are the San Antonio Spurs going to do with De'Aaron Fox on August 2nd? Because if a contract extension isn't announced on August 2nd, I get the feeling something's probably a little bit off. Because they have the ability to talk about this stuff now. They can't officially offer De'Aaron Fox and Rich Paul a contract extension today. Oh, but they could talk about it. And I'm certain they have. But what's that mean? Is it a max contract extension or is it something else?
If an extension isn't announced, because he's in the final year of his deal right now, set to make $37 million. If it's not announced, is he on his way to getting traded?
Yeah, I would think.
And imagine if you're the Spurs, you don't trade for De'Aaron Fox to not give him an extension and let him walk for free as well.
No, I disagree. Well, I think you traded for him with the intent of giving him an extension, but then you moved up in the lottery. So to answer your first question, if he doesn't sign a contract extension, do I think he's on his way to getting traded? Yes. I absolutely do. Between now and February, I absolutely believe he is on his way to getting traded. Barring an incredible start to the season and the decision next offseason, when he's a free agent, to bring him back, barring that, like, yeah, I absolutely think that that happens. And then the other thing you got to remember, the Spurs didn't give anything up to get him. It's not like they traded Steph Castle. It's not like they traded a strong young player.
Yeah, now I'm just radio showing right now. Maybe you're holding on to De'Aaron Fox as, hey, Milwaukee said, we're going to run it back with Giannis real quick, but if things aren't looking so hot come January, come talk to us again.
No?
Like I said, I'm radio showing a bit.
That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with radio showing.
Because if you're not giving him the contract extension when he's eligible, and like you said, they've had to have talked and all that, then what are we doing here? There has to be some plan in place. I highly doubt if they don't give him an extension, it's like, yeah, we'll figure something out. Like, I'm sure there's some plan like in place already.
It's a really interesting position. The San Antonio Spurs could, if they chose, knowing that this is a really atypical offseason, they may not care about De'Aaron Fox being with their team for the long term. They could still sign him to a contract extension and just figure it out later. But I don't know. It'll be, I genuinely have no clue what's going to happen on August 2nd when he becomes extension eligible. I do think I know what's going to happen with Luka Doncic, and that was another big story to watch the rest of this NBA offseason. Though, if I've looked at these numbers correctly, it's actually not that big of a story. First Take and SportsCenter and ESPN, they're going to tell you otherwise. I'm going to tell you why, as usual. You can ignore that stuff. Plus, I want to talk about DeMar DeRozan. We saw him at Summer League yesterday. I think that's an interesting discussion right there as well. So we'll come back. We're going to take you all the way to the top of the 3 o'clock hour when we return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
I was getting ready to cook.
Yeah, but you said you could tell the story of wrestling without Goldberg, and I wanted to fight you on that, but I don't think I can.
Goldberg,
if you're just keeping it to WCW, then yeah, you talk about it.
Goldberg is right guy, right time. That's all he is. He thinks he is far, but he is so similar. One thing that drives me crazy about Bret Hart, and it really stems from reading his book. Of course, if you hear any interviews with him, like, you hear it in the way he talks. Like, Bret has a really difficult time in separating Bret Hart and Bret the Hitman Hart. He has a really difficult time in separating the character that he did an amazing job establishing during his time in wrestling and, like, him the person. Goldberg is the same exact way. I'm sure Goldberg has fans. I'm sure. Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Like what?
Dame Lillard is finalizing a 3-year, $42 million contract to return to the Portland Trailblazers. Oh, my God. The deal is expected to include a player option in 27-28 and a no-trade clause. Dame Lillard is headed back to the Portland Trailblazers.
How does Trista feel about this?
Wow. 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 3-year, $42 million contract. First of all, shout out to Dame. He is getting paid the next 3 years between that stretch provision from the Milwaukee Bucks and this from the Portland Trailblazers. Salute to the Oakland native. But, man, he's headed back to Portland. Yes, I need to know how Trista feels about this.
I don't even know what to, like, it's such a, he's back, I guess. Cool. Like, good now, right?
I've got a question.
What?
Oh, man. Achilles injury. Hang on. Everybody calm down.
Yes, he's 35.
Everybody calm down.
He's older as well, okay. Damian.
I forgot. Achilles injury. I was going to ask if Portland is now better than Sacramento. I forgot the Achilles. I forgot why he was waived. Okay. Dame is out next year. Okay. We're fine. Everybody's fine.
I think you could have asked that question 3 minutes ago and it wouldn't have been crazy.
Dame Lillard returning to the Portland Trailblazers. Shout out, Dame. That's pretty cool. Again, a player option for the 27-28 season. So that's not next year. It would be the third year of this contract. And it includes a no-trade clause. I'm going to text Trista right now.
So does this fix everything with his, like, I don't want to say legacy, not that it was on the line or anything like that, but are people going to hold him not winning a ring against them anymore? Essentially, that's what he left to do. Didn't do with Milwaukee 1 year, then blew out his Achilles.
Yeah.
And now he's back in Portland.
I don't think... I don't think Dame...
I think we're all just going to forget about the whole Milwaukee thing 5 years from now. Dame was a lifelong Portland Trailblazer. That's how we'll talk about him.
I agree with that. And I don't think Dame is going to catch any heat for not winning a ring. Assuming Portland doesn't win an NBA championship. I don't think Dame is going to catch any heat for that. I could be wrong. Like, I don't look down. I don't look at Dame any sort of way.
Well, I think people look at him a little funny because he did the whole, I'm 10 toes down, I'm Portland this, blah, yada, yada, yada. And then he signed his extension. He's like, all right, now I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And it was clear because it's like, all right, now he's ready to win, I guess.
His exit wasn't the most graceful, but it wasn't the most graceful, but overall, I think it'll be forgotten. It's just like what you said about Milwaukee. I think it'll be forgotten. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Like I said, he's going to be a lifelong Portland Trailblazer 5 years from now. Portland gets to love him forever again. There's no hard feelings now.
Now he's with some of these young guys. I love this. I love that Dame is a Portland Trailblazer again. Sham Sharania just reports that Dame Lillard is in fact returning to the Portland Trailblazers. There is some.
I was really hoping you were going to say he was going to be a Celtic. I kind of was latching on to that for a second.
That was the thing, right?
Yeah. Like Tatum was recruiting him, all that stuff. They were going to rehab together. I mean, that's a joke.
Oh, man.
That's a joke, but
okay.
It's a joke, but yeah, they'd be back, you know.
Videos of those guys doing the rubber band, big rubber band stretch with their Achilles.
Imagine the content Celtics social media team could have got out of that.
TK, I text TK, so how do you feel? She said, I'm at a loss and also completely unsurprised and shocked at the same time. All right, TK. TK, as someone said it a second ago, TK probably making a video right now.
Portland's in a weird spot right now, too.
They are.
Jrue Holiday's just for the year then, I guess. I'm assuming when Dame's back. Not saying it's his team.
Yeah, unless you run back the... unless you run back like the Dame-CJ thing, right, where you have those guys in the backcourt, it's probably not ideal and not what you want to do, so... Yeah, probably.
What are they doing?
Huh?
Like, what is Portland doing now? Like it's, all right, I don't want to be a wet blanket on this little fun story, but it's... I don't get it, I guess. Who's the future? Like, what is...
Well, I think...
Is Dame just a vet now?
So I still think they're working on their future and building their future, but I also think they can use Jrue Holiday here to... establish vets now or work with rookies now, and then Dame comes back. Dame, if you decide to move Jrue Holiday, like that's fine, that's whatever. But you also, if you have Jrue Holiday there, you take a little pressure off Dame in his return from an Achilles injury. I think Dame got hurt during the playoffs. So year to year, like Dame will be fully recovered by the time the next training camp starts and the next season starts. So there should be no reason that he has to like ease into the NBA season because he should be well back by that point. So I don't know. I mean, when the Blazers acquired Jrue Holiday, they didn't know Dame Lillard was going to get waived.
Yeah.
Unless my timing on that is wrong, I think the Jrue Holiday acquisition happened before. Jrue Holiday, I feel like that happened the day
that was like early on. Not too early, but yeah, that was before the Dame stuff, I believe. Before Miles Turner.
Yeah, right. That was early. So, man, they didn't know. Like, if I have the opportunity, you know you've got Jrue next year. And this goes back to when the Jrue Holiday move actually happened. And I said I feel bad for him. And Kenny couldn't understand why. It's because this. Like, Drew's a solid player. He can help with a variety of different teams. He's one of the best dudes in the league. He could wind up playing for three or four more teams. He could just wind up being the guy who keeps getting traded time and time again. That's what he's facing right now with Portland. He's going to wind up getting traded. Yeah, interesting. Dame Lillard back with the Portland Trail Blazers. 3-year, $42 million contract, according to Shams Charania, a player's option in the 27, excuse me, a player option in the 27-28 season. A no-trade clause also involved in this. Of course, Dame is 35 here at this point in his career. A couple of other things from Shams Charania. Here we are. Lillard will now have the 25-26 set salary of $70 million between his Portland and Milwaukee deals and a salary of $141 million over the next 2 years ahead of that opt-out in 2027. Lillard and the Blazers both deeply cared about the comeback in recent weeks with multiple meetings among the Portland franchise icon and general manager Joe Cronin and head coach Chauncey Billups to bond together and move forward united on a new deal. One last thing from Shams Charania here. Lillard will use the 25-26 season to rehabilitate a torn Achilles, but a return to the franchise in Portland where his family and kids reside were of ultimate importance. He also had multiple mid-level exception and minimum offers from NBA contenders. Jesse, there you go. Perhaps he did get an offer from the Boston Celtics. So
that part about his kids and family being in Portland, I feel like probably was the biggest thing for him.
Because
it wasn't really too quiet about him not being too happy in Milwaukee. He was away from everybody.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons that I am steadfast on the idea that Russell Westbrook could play in Sacramento. I don't think Russell Westbrook wants to go to the East Coast anywhere. I know Chris Paul doesn't, which is why I want the Clippers to sign Chris Paul and, hell, do what the Blazers just did. Have a little reuniting moment and let him, you know, if this truly is Chris Paul's last season, let him have it with the Los Angeles Clippers. But it's one of the reasons I think Russell Westbrook could sign here. I think as you get older, those things become of greater importance. Like, you have this idea of, like, I'm going to go out, I'm going to be the greatest, I'm going to be the best, I'm going to be a Hall of Fame player, I'm going to do this. These guys' roles within teams are changing. Dame Lillard's role when he returns from this Achilles injury is going to be a little bit different. Russell Westbrook is at a different stage in his career. Chris Paul clearly at a different stage in his career. They have things that are, you know, more important to them, or just as important to them. Basketball at this point for these guys might be a job they're very good at, a job that they're better at than, you know, just about everybody. But they're coming here to work. They want to win. They want to compete. They want to do all of those things, but they don't want to do it while sacrificing time with their wife, kids, families, loved ones, significant others, whatever the case may be. And you see that more with players as they get older than you see it with some of these young guys who are still driven by being the best and winning and being competition. You talk about Dame, Russ, at least in my mind, and I could absolutely be wrong on this. Dame, Russ, Chris Paul, none of those guys have rings and none of it matters to me. All three of those guys are certified. Dame Lillard said, I'm the second best shooter of this generation. He's absolutely correct. Chris Paul, in terms of pure point guard, I understand that Steph Curry is a point guard, but in terms of the organizer, facilitator, floor general, Chris Paul is the best of this generation. Russell Westbrook, one of the most dynamic of this generation, one of the most unique of this generation. Obviously, my favorite. These guys have nothing to prove. No rings between the three of them. Doesn't matter. Will never matter. When you evaluate the careers of Dame Lillard, Chris Paul, and Russell Westbrook, they don't need rings. They don't need to go chase anything. They could focus on helping whatever team they wind up playing. For Dame, it's the Portland Trail Blazers. For Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, perhaps we'll find out over the coming weeks who they wind up playing with.
That's just the rings culture thing too, I feel like. I guess in order to be talked about amongst like the top 10, like, yeah, you need rings and stuff like that, but for all the jokes he catches, like, there's nothing wrong with being Charles Barkley or even Carmelo Anthony.
Maybe amongst the, when you're talking about like the top 10 players of all time, when you're talking about like the absolute best ever, yeah, maybe that's,
oh, yeah, that's
maybe
that's
part of the conversation. I don't think Dame Lillard is a part of that conversation. I think if you add four rings to Dame Lillard, it's he's probably not a part of the conversation.
Yeah, you're not taking him out of top 75 because he didn't get a ring in his career. Yeah, those guys.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case at all. So the ring culture thing is dumb. Like, there are guys who have rings. Like, I think the conversation really got stupid. Where the ring culture conversation really jumped the shark with Kevin Durant.
Did the ring culture thing develop, I guess, as a way to keep LeBron from overtaking Mike in a way? Or even Kobe? Where it's like, maybe this guy is as good. Because I don't know, like, I have been talking rings forever, whatever, but just more so where it's like, all right, now is when it matters.
It's always going to be...
Because Magic Johnson, like, I don't think people, when you bring him up, I don't think people bring up his rings first and foremost, talk about the buzz and all that.
If you're a fan of someone, you'll always find a way to defend him. And so, like, it's no different than what we see with, like, Drake and Kendrick, for example. You'll find an argument to fit. Drake's got all these top 10 hits. He's in the clubs. He's all over the place. How come he's not considered the greatest of all time? All right. Salute. Fair point. Kendrick Lamar fan would say, Kendrick's got like 24 Grammys. Does that factor in on anything? Like, so if you're looking to make a point, if you're looking to defend somebody, you can find an argument to do it. For Mike, it's Mike's got 6 rings. Then guys like Kobe, Tim Duncan, people always leave Tim Duncan out of this. They got kind of close. Then what'd the conversation shift to? Oh, man, he's 6-0. He's 6. How many finals has LeBron James lost? How many finals has Kobe Bryant lost? How many? Because Michael Jordan, he ain't never lost any. And then when you really back them into a corner, the Michael Jordan people I'm talking about, when you really back them into the corner, their new thing is, well, Mike never played in a game 7. Mike is so good, he never played in a game 7, which is wrong. He never played in a game 7 in the finals. But, like, cool. You're going to find something to defend your guy. I think LeBron is the greatest to ever do it. Going to, is it
8 straight
NBA finals? 4 with Cleveland, 4 with Miami. And then going to another one and winning it with Los Angeles 2 years later. Not to mention to the one that he went 2 years prior with Cleveland. That doesn't count for anything. Or it wasn't 2 years prior. It was like 3 years prior.
Doesn't, because Mike never lost.
Mike never lost. Mike was 6-0. Mike was this. Mike was that. When the conversation started to be had that Kevin Durant needed to win another ring, because the ones that he won with the Golden State Warriors, where he was the best player on the team, wasn't enough. He had to go win another one. He had to go win with Brooklyn. He had to go win with Phoenix. Now he has to win with Houston. He has to win with somebody else other than the Golden State Warriors. That's where the ring conversation really died. Because are you going to attempt to compare Draymond Green to Kevin Durant? Because Draymond's got 4. Are you going to attempt to compare Klay Thompson to Kevin Durant? Because he's got 4. Now, if you want to have an honest conversation, you can go Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. I think that's a fascinating conversation that ventures well outside winning rings. Rings can be a part of the conversation. It's not the be-all, end-all. 6-0 can be a part of the conversation. It's not the be-all, end-all. 8 straight NBA finals. It's not the be-all, end-all, but it's all a part of the conversation. All of these things play in a wider scope. To me, like, if you want to mention that Dame didn't win a title, that's fine. Carmelo, fine. Russ, Chris Paul, it's all fine. It doesn't take away anything. If Chris Paul played 40 games this year on the Oklahoma City Thunder, whatever team winds up winning the title, playing 18 minutes per game, 20 minutes per game, that means nothing to me. Chris Paul joining a championship contender and winning a ring at 40 doesn't mean, oh, Chris Paul won a ring. He's verified now. No, Chris Paul already is in that ring. While I'm sure it would mean the world to him, in the way you evaluated his career, it should mean nothing. Dame Lillard winning a ring in Milwaukee, I think, would have mattered a little bit more than the scenario I just presented.
It would have been a Matt Stafford type of ring where he had all the talent in the world, I feel. It's just kind of like, just missing that one thing. And then
yeah,
you go over to the other team. It's like, all right, yeah, there's what we've been looking for this whole time. Like, see, you could do it.
Yeah, the tough part, like, I don't want to minimize Matt Stafford's ring too much, because the tough part was they were really good with Jared Goff and made the decision, we don't have the right quarterback to win, made the trade, got the right quarterback, and won. It's kind of hard to argue.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, all right, that worked. But your point stands. Dame steps in with a better team than Portland was ever able to construct, partners up with Giannis Antetokounmpo, and goes off and wins an NBA championship. There's something to be said for that. But it doesn't change the way I evaluate Dame Lillard. It's like talking about, it's like the conversation we had earlier about LeBron winning a championship with the Knicks. I don't, other than Knicks fans and people who live and die on what happens in New York, that title is a fraction of what the Cleveland title was. And maybe it'll rank up, I don't even know that I don't think it's better than the first Miami title. Maybe it's better than the bubble title, but I'm not even sure about that. But maybe it is. I don't know. People will always disparage the bubble title, forgetting that the Lakers were the favorites heading into that season. I don't know. Go back to the earlier statement. Ring culture is whack. But I love this story for Dame Lillard. Dame Lillard back with the Portland Trailblazers. Didn't expect that. Actually forgot about Dame, with all due respect. I assumed he was going to sign with someone this year, but I just
figured he was going to be one of the contenders.
Yeah, I completely forgot. Just completely forgot. I think part of it is because we know he's not playing next year. I had been thinking a lot, probably more than I needed to, about Bradley Beal. Waiting for the Bradley Beal buyout to happen in Phoenix, because that felt like it was always going to be like a boom boom type situation. He's going to get bought out by Phoenix and he's going to immediately sign somewhere.
I want to believe in that situation so badly, but Kyle Madsen's right. Like, James Harden is just going to fold in the playoffs and Kawhi probably won't even be healthy, and it just won't work with the Clippers. Adding Bradley Beal. Like, on paper, it looks great, but
I like it. I mean, that's a 50-win team that brings in a guy who can score.
Yeah, I think a lot of Brad's ability to play is still there. I think the last 2 years is the more product of it just didn't fit. It's a horrible situation for him.
But to Kyle Madsen's point, come April, we'll see.
Yeah, like, yeah, we have enough evidence.
Yeah, it's still the Clippers. It's still James Harden. We'll see. Rich Wright 88 says, D-Lo tripping, LOL. LeBron isn't better than MJ, LOL, at all. Rich, salute, appreciate you. You can write LOL all you want to. No matter how many LOLs you write, no matter how many laughing emojis you put, I don't think that Michael Jordan is better than LeBron James. LeBron James is the greatest basketball player I've ever seen. You are welcome to feel differently. Anyone who feels different, anyone who's Team Mike, y'all are welcome to be Team Mike. For my money, LeBron James is the greatest basketball player I've ever seen. That's it. What he has been able to do for the amount of time he's been able to do it. He is a one-man dynasty. The league follows him from Cleveland to Miami, back to Cleveland to Los Angeles. People hated on his son for being drafted for no other reason than he was his son. There has never in the history of the draft been a discussion about a player drafted where Bronny was the way there was a discussion about Bronny James. And it's all because he is LeBron James' son. And LeBron, if he's not the greatest player of all time, he is the greatest player of this generation. But for me, he's the greatest player I've ever seen. I love Mike. I'm in awe every time I watch old highlights of Michael Jordan. I'm in awe every time I watch highlights of Kobe Bryant. When the big Kobe LeBron debate was happening, when the big Kobe LeBron Nike puppets stretch of seasons was happening, I was Team Kobe. I was at the time saying Kobe Bryant is the best player in professional basketball. The best. There is no one better than him. And it felt like once LeBron took that mantle, when he got to, well, he was probably the best player in Cleveland. But when he got to Miami and he started winning championships, man, I don't feel like he looked back. And you got your Shays and your Jokic's and your Giannis's and your Embiid's, like all of those guys, like they have their moment. But longevity wise, I mean, Drew Down, great point. Steph Curry, just incredible. But LeBron, to me, is the one. I don't know that we'll ever see anyone do what LeBron James has done. LeBron, I don't, in someone, fact check this, I heard it somewhere and I should have fact checked it, but I'm going to repeat it because it sounds crazy. No one has ever played 23 years in the NBA before, and in September LeBron James will start his 23rd season. A guy who averaged 24-8-8 last year at the age of 40. 24-8-8, season number 23, been in the spotlight since he was 16 years old, been the most discussed basketball player on the planet since he was 18.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall.
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
And I don't know how many know this, but he actually debuted at Arco Arena. Little known fact, never mentioned.
Never heard that.
Never.
You got to guess who's played the most seasons ever besides LeBron?
Yes. Is it your boy, Robert Parrish?
No.
It's not. Okay.
He's second. He's tied second with a bunch of others.
Robert Parrish is tied with second?
Yeah, he's tied second.
Is LeBron first?
He's tied first, I guess. After this season, okay. He will be first.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess Parrish will be third after this year, tied with the others.
I feel like is it Kevin Willis?
Oh, Kevin Willis tied with Robert Parrish 21 seasons as well.
Okay, who?
Vince Carter, 22 seasons.
Oh, come on, man. Oh, that's a miss on my part.
Yeah, Dirk, Garnett, Kevin Willis, Parrish played 21, and then there's Udonis Haslem, Jamal Crawford, and Kobe Bryant.
Oh, Haslem. Forgot about
Kareem
Haslem.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played 20.
Were all of Haslem's seasons with Miami? He didn't play for anyone else, did he? Wow.
All the Heat.
Wow.
So funny. Look at this. Robert Perry, or Jamal Crawford, 20 seasons, 1,300 games. Kobe Bryant, 20 seasons, 1,300 games. Udonis Haslem, 20 seasons, 879.
Hey.
Salute.
Yeah.
He's got a lifetime job with the Heat. He did it right.
And he's doing great on television.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. That's great. Where is Sammy? Sammy says, D-Lo, you can't be serious thinking LBJ is better than Michael Jordan. Yeah. Is that a hot take? Am I Skip Bayless? Well, no, of course I wouldn't be singing nice LeBron's praises if I was Skip Bayless. Really? I honestly, Sammy, I didn't realize this was such a hot take. I know it's a divided take, but I didn't realize it was that hot. Yeah, I absolutely believe LeBron is better. Is this news? Have y'all never listened to this conversation before? Shout out to everybody tuning in. Stephen McBride says LeBron folks and their counting stats are so ridiculous. Well, okay.
He's got rings too.
What barometer do you use? What barometer do you use to determine who the greatest player of all time is?
LeBron's got the most points scored in the history of the NBA. Huh? So stupid stats.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Stephen. Let me step back. I won't use stats for the argument. You tell me, what should I use? My brothers in Christ, what is happening right now? Mark says, this is a super hot take. MJ is way better than LeBron. That's okay. That's all right. Y'all can actually feel that way. And here, Aldrin Jay said the quiet part out loud. Them old heads get upset when you talk about their GOAT.
Yeah.
Oh, they get upset. Now, mind you.
I won't say who, but my father might have texted me during this conversation about this all.
Now, mind you, I am less than a month away from turning 45 old. I am of the MJ, and the second year in a row I'm turning 45 for those who remember last year. I am of that demographic, so I understand. But it's always the old dudes who get really fired up about their GOAT.
They won't even hear the other side of it.
Please hear me when I tell you, I am not saying MJ is trash. I am not saying LeBron is definitively better than Michael Jordan. Hell, I'm putting Kobe Bryant in this debate. I think when you put all three together, I'm going to go LeBron first. I'm going to go Michael second. And I'm going to go Kobe third. I love Kobe. Kobe was, before Russell Westbrook, Kobe Bryant was my favorite player. I just have a tremendous amount of respect for LeBron James. Mark says he's 28. He's not an old head, and he thinks MJ's better. I think he's lying.
We didn't even get to watch MJ, Mark.
I think Mark.
What are you doing with him?
There you go. There you go. Yeah, I'm not taking Kobe off the list, man. Adam L says, LOL, you could take. First of all, stop typing LOL, all of y'all. He says you could take Kobe right out of that list. I don't think so. I think you are grossly underestimating Kobe's impact. And that's another thing I measure in all of this. You know, Mike's impact on the game is, I think Mike's impact on this game is still being felt today. And if you dumb this conversation down to impact, like impact on the game, Mike would be first, Kobe might be second. And there's probably an argument that Kobe could be over Mike, but I'm going to go Mike first because you can't walk down the street without seeing a jump man somewhere. Kobe would be second, and LeBron would be third. And I think impact is one of the things that you factor in when having this discussion. I had no plans to have this discussion today. It got hot in the chat. I didn't mean to start a fight with everybody.
I was telling Kyle, it'd be the point of the summer where the damn conversation turns into a rings culture conversation, which always turns into an MJ versus Bron conversation somehow, some way.
All of this started because Dame signed back with the Portland Trailblazers. My bad. Brian says, I'm 47 and I think LeBron is the best all-around basketball player ever. Well, I guess we know this for future summers. If there's ever a dull day, just bring up Michael and LeBron, piss everybody off, and have a conversation.
Oh, yeah, ESPN's going to bring it up at some point this summer.
They'll probably bring it up on Monday.
Let's break in case of emergency for everybody. Well, that's really provocative. That really gets the people going.
I guess. Congrats, Dame.
Yeah, salute Dame, by the way.
Oh, no, man.
Salute Dame. LeBron's better.
Yeah, I guess so.
Or if you're salute Dame, MJ's better.
I guess so. Man. Oh, man. That's funny.
Cast Digital Media says, y'all won't have this convo with Casey here. We've had it like 10 different times with Casey.
Well, what are you talking about? Do you think this conversation is new? And why? What am I, scared of Kenny? What are you talking about?
Everyone knows, D-Lo, you hold on to your takes when Kenny's around.
Yeah, that's what it is. And everyone knows Kenny waffles on the pick anyways. Like, one day he'll say something about MJ, and the next day he'll go, man,
Kenny doesn't
LeBron.
Waffle. Kenny has an answer. He just won't say it because he doesn't want to upset people.
That's what it is.
He
knows.
If you've listened to him and how he's talked about, if no one were to listen to him or whatever, he just said it, it would be LeBron. But he still holds on to MJ.
There are, I guess in the end it's a fun conversation because it's one of those things where everyone has a side, whether it's MJ, whether it's LeBron, or as Kyle points out, when are we putting Nick Clifford in the conversation? Because I think that's really where we should be at.
What do we even make of Nick Clifford? Like, at what point do you, all right, just stop, don't get too excited. Like, is it too crazy to say?
No, you don't.
He'll have an impact game one?
Okay.
Like, is it too crazy to say he'll have an impact in the rotation
from
the start?
This is kind of like what we were talking about earlier. You can ride your high feelings on Nick Clifford probably all the way till the start of preseason. Then when you see him against other NBA, like, true NBA guys, that's when you're going to have to make a determination. Do we keep going with this Nick thing, or do we temper our expectations a little bit? Because the longer he plays as well as he's been playing, that's the conversation's not going to stop. You can take these, you could take what will be in a week or so, or maybe in a matter of days, the post-summer league feelings, you could take those all the way to training camp. Like, if you're high on Nick Clifford right now, nothing that happens in the next game, next two games, next three games is probably going to change your mind. Like, Nick wasn't even shooting well in that game yesterday.
He just plays in control, though, and with a purpose.
And that's the thing. It's like he at least through the first, what are we up to, 4-0? At least through the first four games, he doesn't, like, he's had where he's not shooting well. He's had moments where he's not scoring. That's never deterred him to have, like, a completely bad game.
Yeah, because yesterday they were playing through him in the last few minutes of the game, and you see him driving in or even taking a shot, and it's like, no, like, he wanted to do that. Like,
yeah.
Everything was just with a purpose.
Yeah, man. He is in full control. He has complete confidence. He is not shaken by missed shots, and sometimes that's one of the things that you have to encourage young players to understand. Doug talks about this all the time, or Doug Christie talked about this all the time last year. Hey, keep shooting. Keep doing what you do. When Keegan Murray was going through his struggles, when Doug Christie took over, I think this was right when Doug Christie took over. What'd he say? Someone asked him, hey, what are you going to say to Keegan Murray? How are you going to, get him going or whatever? And I swear Doug said something like, man, we're going to hug him. We're going to put our arms around him. We're going to tell him we got his back, and we're going to tell him to keep doing you. Keep getting those shots up. Keep being aggressive. Don't change anything. Don't wither away. Don't do any of that. Just keep playing. And that was Keegan's, third year last year? And don't get me wrong, there's going to be moments where Neat Clifford or Maxime Raynaud, if he's you know, a part of the rotation when this thing gets started, there's going to be moments where you've got to gather those young guys and be like, hey, get back to playing free. Get back to playing loose. There's probably a certain level of freedom that these guys have in summer league where they feel like there's a certain level of freedom that's probably going to change when they get on the big court and there's DeMar DeRozan and there's Zach LaVine and there's DeMontis Sabonis and there's, you know, some of these Malik Monk, some of these more tenured guys around them where it's like, okay, I still got to play my game. I still got to be me. But these guys are here. They've got a way to play their game. They've got a way that they play this game. This team has a way. I have to fit in with them. And that's probably one of the most difficult parts about being a rookie or a first-year player. That's probably one of the most difficult parts about coaching a first-year player is, look, man, I know you feel like you have to take a back seat to these guys, but you're a part of this. And the reason you're a part of this is because of what you do well. Go out there and do what you do. Go out there, attack, relax, play with that confidence that you played with in summer league. Play with that level of aggression that you played with in summer league. Don't let the fact that DeMontis Sabonis is out there change the way that you play. Don't let the fact that Zach LaVine is out there change the way that you play. Don't do any of that. Just go out there, play your game, and be you. And I got to go be me in front of some corporate people. So the show is not ending. Kyle Mattson is here. He's going to step in the room. Matt George is going to join the show coming up in about 15 minutes. So the conversation continues. I'm done with the LeBron-Michael Jordan debate so much, I'm just going to leave. But Kyle Mattson is going to step in here and finish the last hour of D'Lo and KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.